affirmative action in the plans. I've heard complaints that it will be pulled out of some of the local areas and dispersed and pushed up and vice versa. I did not hear, however, the complaints of the assistant secretary charged with that. I think that he was quite satisfied that it would result in a much better managerial effort. I don't want to try to avoid your question, but I don't know how to be more specific. I think the idea in housing and in CD was to put the direct managerial responsibility from the top of HUD down into the reaches of the area and the responsibility flowing both ways without the extra tier in. I don't know, and I'd be happy to try to respond more specifically if you have another question. I'll tell you, don't worry. Go ahead.
In our area, we have heard that a number of technical people, and I'm telling you,
sure.
I'm interested in, I'm in the housing field in a variety of ways, and I'm interested in how CD is going to work in particular, that the number of technical people are being taken. That the regional offices are going to be given less responsibility, they're being dispersed, and some areas being taken out completely. With the change in the regulation and the requirement that the plan perhaps be more specific, more detailed, and for a longer period of time, the complaints or the depression that I'm getting is that there are going to be fewer technical people in the area office to review those plans in order to make them deliverable.
Okay. It's a very legitimate concern. I could only respond that we are attempting to provide more review. And the question is where that review will fall. We're not in any respect trying to provide less review. And I think that one of the reasons for centralization of some of the effort is that it was too loosely administered in the field before. Unquestionably, technical people will be, just as you described it, many moved to Washington. But I do think that it is a very specific underlying philosophical base that we want more control on those HAPs, what is in them, and enforcement of them. Now, the best delivery in the particular mix is something specifically I can't address numerically. But the intent was not at all to loosen up on the review, but just the opposite, to tighten up. Thank you. Yes, in response to your question, I'm just trying to.
And then, is there any way for you to send
No, I don't think there's any way to anticipate it. I think it was a loosely administered, I'll give you some philosophy, a loosely administered program before, and I think the next 2 to 3 years you can begin to get some feel of whether it can be an effective tool to revitalize the inner city. If it is not, I would think there would be tremendous looking at to whether that is the appropriate path to pursue. I think there is a sense and a change in philosophy here that we're really not interested in funding country clubs and golf courses, etc., unless in some respect it hits the inner city. We're much more interested in focusing on that inner core city, and if that's the tool, if it is effective for doing so, yes, we'll continue to ask for funding for it. But if it does not, I think we'd be delighted to look to another program or ways to change that one. Yes. That specific plan is for my central office. I have not developed one for the field offices yet. They are quite far behind the central office, as you probably know by asking the question. In fact, I am meeting for the first time in early December in Denver with the all of the field council, and there will be that will make up a goodly portion of my speech. With respect to affirmative action, the only way that I have been in contact with the field people, as I mentioned, is to change the recruitment procedures for field council, over which I previously didn't have a great deal of impact. You were given what's called concurrent authority once it was selected, instead of going to the issue of how they determined the candidates. I can tell you a personal experience I had in one of the offices. I was very concerned because there was not even a consideration of a minority or a woman candidate. So he went back, and in fairness, he interviewed some more, and then he sent the folder up to me, and I looked at it, and it was a selection of a white male. There's nothing wrong with a selection of a white male, but I flipped through it myself. And quite frankly, I couldn't disagree with the selection and the point system and how they had arrived at it. But the question kept coming back to me is just who got in this package in the first place? That's your major problem. It's not once the package is complete and whether someone evaluated it fairly. It's how do you inject and make them go out and systematically look for minorities and for women as well as for white males. I don't happen to, I just had an overabundance of them when I arrived. So. Delighted. Yes. A flow chart for what? I'm sorry. Oh, okay. So you're relating it from the central to the local, right? Okay. Let me see if I can do it for you. First of all, I'll just sketch very briefly the chart of the central office. There is the secretary and the undersecretary and the general counsel and the various programmatic assistant secretaries. We have next what is called a regional level. At the regional level, there is a regional administrator, and as it relates to me, there is a regional council, and there are various what used to be assistant regional administrators for the program areas. Then you go down one more layer, and there are the area offices. There is an area director, and in my counterpart is an area council. Now, the specific lines of responsibility flowing between these is what the woman was addressing a few moments ago. We are in the process of a reorganization, and I can't speak specifically to the various changes in the flows programmatically, but I think how we differ from our predecessors is that there was a great desire to decentralize in the previous administrations. I don't think there's anything wrong with decentralization, except it usually doesn't work. It usually means that you don't have the kind of checks. If you have the kind of checks at an area office, if you go down to that third tier, that is terrific because that is closer to the people it is to serve. If you don't have that kind of check, it can result in things like funding of golf courses and things like that, whatever someone perceives to be in their community's interest. What kinds of programs? You know, I'm not sure I can answer that question. Are you talking about HUD programs or? I haven't had enough program experience to give you a really good answer to that question. We have someone sitting on the front row who is a program person. Maybe she has something to add to it. I really haven't had enough experience. Unfortunately, we have had so many programs that haven't worked, I could probably give you an agenda on the other side, interestingly enough, though, we do not have the history and the sense of tradition of a department. I'm not knocking the department. I'm just saying we don't have the long history of the Department of Defense and its delivery mechanisms. We've been going through a period of experimentation. So it doesn't mean necessarily that I'm being negative by saying a lot of them haven't worked. Some didn't get a chance to work. And I think, however, I could respond philosophically to your question, I think there are local programs that could work. And I think the only way you can do that, though, is to have tremendous oversight of those funds, as to use them for whatever purpose the legislation or you as an administration desire that they be used for. They should be brought as closely, you know, down to the recipients as possible. But you give away that kind of money and unless there are a check and balance system, you're being naive to think it's going to be used. There probably is. I don't mean to plead ignorance, but I've just got to. I'm not terribly knowledgeable about the... is that too loud? Oh, okay. Yes, I can talk loud enough to speak to the microphone.
How they infiltrate management at the local level, if you will, with some of the kinds of philosophies you have, not around programmatic issues, but the people management that you're talking about. It's been my experience as a former Federal Women's Program coordinator. That at the local level and in the regional offices, that very often with the heads of people such as regional and area councils being in terms of programs, that many of the EEO concepts and objectives got scuttled because when a first-line supervisor, for example, recommended that a woman employee be sent to a training conference or to have some other kind of developmental experience, it was considered either a conflict of interest or in some way a low priority effort, and therefore the money got reserved for some other person, a managerial type male. And I was just wondering if you had a chance to think about how you use that opportunity to impact on that kind of thinking, because it's often the area or regional council who says, no, you can't do this.
Yes, that's... that is very astute. No, I wish I could claim that I had given a great deal of thought to that, and I'll certainly think about it now. But that is excellent, because unless you, I have not paid a great deal of attention to the specifics of the reorganization. I agree totally with the concept of it. I am one of the few general counsels in the past at HUD that happens to believe that a general counsel is a lawyer and doesn't tell everybody what to do in their programmatic areas. So for that reason, I probably spend less time in programmatic areas. It's by design. It's the way I like to run my office, etc. But I did see in the law cases that I have, and that's the way I view the world, basically, through who sues us and why they're suing us. But I did see what supported the program people who were saying this, that lack of management and certainly any insertion of equal opportunity into that lack of management. It's a very good one. Be delighted, yes. That's probably one of the few things I can respond to very affirmatively. I have to deal with it all the time. You are obviously referring to the controversial regulations. Is that... which defined family? Yeah. Yes, there have been some changes in that. That was so that everyone doesn't get lost. It was quite a controversy, at least in Washington, over these regulations. As they were defined and written, they were appropriately interpreted to include in a rather media framework homosexuals and single people living together. I don't remember the precise wording of it. We allowed the regulations to go forward, as you well know, and because I happen to personally, as the Secretary did, believe that public housing should not be denied to anyone, and this was an attempt to broaden it. Congress did not agree, however, and yes, there was a change. They put a rider on an appropriations bill that prohibited us from expending any funds for the implementation of that, you know, new Section 8 definition of family regs. So we cannot implement it, and we will change them back to what they were for that, but that is the reason, is the appropriation rider. That are not elderly.
Right.
Yes.
Not elderly. Right.
I understand that they're being drafted that way. I haven't... the implementation, I think it's an interpretive problem, isn't it?
Right.
And it has not gotten to my desk in response to your question. Any other? I wish I could, and I cannot. I perceive that they have done better than they have been given credit for doing. However, I tried to get those figures out of the, maybe she has them. Just a second, she's got, no, that, this is interesting. She's handed me a list of, which appear to be the top women in the agency. I think there's been a very good effort, and I mean the figures speak for themselves. You can look down each agency and see who was appointed. However, if you try to reach below that, say, go to the GS 11 or 13 and above and say, who got all those Schedule Cs and, you know, those kind of jobs. Those are the statistics I can't get hold of, because I was trying to make a comparison the other day. I had to introduce the secretary at a luncheon, And I was told that they couldn't be given out because it violated the Privacy Act, which I found very interesting. But no, in response to your question, I don't have an overall government feel for how each agency is doing. I could tell you how we have done as I did, but you're making a presumption that it is what will be found out will be good. I would like to make that same presumption. Yes. Any other questions? Yeah, sorry.
What does the newsletter on human issues say about periodic floating around in electronic news and getting it again and find it in your address in your area?
Good. I see another of my colleagues over here from Assistant Secretary at the Department of Agriculture, so she can tell you how good they're doing there, and I'm sure that once Carol Foreman arrived, they're doing superbly. So why don't you ask her? That's
all right. Let's give her a big hand. I'll take my copy. All right. Ruth, on behalf of IWI Commission, we certainly want to thank you as one of our guest lecturers, Distinguished Women Briefing from the Top. Thank you very, very much. One more applause for her, will you please? Ruth, the press is interested in hoping you for an interview.
Okay.
The press is waiting for you. In Virginia, we'll take you around.
Yeah.